Acelin Antrim with Pharmacy Times. Welcome to Pharmacy Focus, Psychedelic Pharmacy, where we take a look at one of the fastest growing markets in healthcare, psychedelic medicine. This month, Associate Editor Ashley Gallagher sat down with David Kane, CEO of Introspect Digital Therapeutics at Atai Life Sciences, to discuss the development of digital therapeutics in psychedelic medicine.
What do the current digital therapeutics look like in psychedelic therapeutics?
Sure. I think there's two approaches that companies are taking towards psychedelic therapeutics right now. One is standalone approaches or standalone apps like Field Trip or Mind Leap or WavePath, stuff like that. And they're trying to create apps that can be used with psychedelic experience, but they aren't necessarily completely a combination or made side by side along with them. And then there's approaches like what Atai is taking, and where we believe that providing psychedelic therapeutic support is really vital to making a psychedelic experience therapeutic. And so we want to make sure that we're working on providing that therapy consistently all the way through our drug development. There's also different phases in a psychedelic journey that these apps are targeting. So I would think about four different phases in a psychedelic journey that you would be supporting therapeutically through a DTX. First one is pre-dosing, or what would be traditionally called a set and setting. Then there's the dosing phase, when the patient's actually taking the compound. And then you've got integration, or immediately after that psychedelic experience, where you're trying to take advantage of the potential neuroplasticity of the patient. And then finally, long-term therapy support or aftercare, where you'd include things like skills building, what someone would traditionally think of like a therapeutic, digital therapeutic.
Nice. How do psychedelic therapeutics have different needs regarding digital technology? Why is there a need for new technologies versus more generalized digital therapeutics used with the other drug classes?
Well, going back to what I was talking about before with four different phases of that psychedelic journey, three of those are really unique to a psychedelic experience. In a typical, cognitive behavioral therapy app or therapeutic app, you wouldn't really touch on set and setting. There's nothing to prepare the person for. There's obviously no dosing element. And the integration, or trying to figure out sort of what to making sense of the person's experience, as well as sort of solidifying anything that happened during that experience, that's just sort of not there for traditional therapy. So I think that's one really big different need that digital technology in psychedelics has. And I think for me, there's one thread that sort of goes through each of those three unique phases. And that's what I would call the perspective shift. This idea of, I used to think about the world one way, and now I think about it in a different way. Like, there's a little bit of a tilt in the way that I see the world. And I think I'd like to take advantage, our team would like to take advantage of this perspective shift and use it as a lens to focus the entire treatment experience, all the way from set and setting through integration through the long-term aftercare, sort of a touch point that we can come back to personalize that patient's experience. An example, and this is some work that one of our team members, Dr. Jennifer Tippett, has been working on, that I'm really, really excited about. This idea that you can sort of name, you can label and list out what potential perspective shifts people can go under or typically go under during a psychedelic experience is really interesting to me. So in the 50s, there was this book that came out called The Feeling Good Handbook that listed and labeled out all of the what they would call cognitive distortions. So for example, a cognitive distortion might be all or nothing thinking, or fortune telling, or overgeneralizing. And listing these out, there's not a huge number of them, but that's been an incredibly helpful tool over the last 40 years in helping therapists and patients really quickly understand how they might be misthinking about the world. And it was also a little bit controversial that you could distill down, human human thinking down into a listed number of cognitive distortions. But ultimately, it's been really helpful. And I think that there's probably a analog that can be found in psychedelics. So, you know, for example, one perspective shift that someone might go under through a psychedelic experience is zero-sum thinking versus accretive thinking, right? Or like you might start off with the perspective of life, like, look, I got mine, or if I get mine, if you get yours, I can't get mine, versus we got ours. Is an example of what I think a perspective shift might be. And I don't think we've really got to a place where we know what all of those are yet, but using those as a touch point or a thread throughout the entire experience, I think is really exciting.
Psychedelic therapies often utilize different modulites and sensory input, like music therapy or a carefully curated environment. Are digital therapeutics involved in helping facilitate this?
Sure. I mean, I think what you're asking there, like utilizing different modalities and sensory input, that's really talking about the dosing phase, right? So like the point in time when the person is under the influence of the compound. And how a sitter traditionally works, a psychedelic sitter would be someone who would sit with you through the whole experience, and traditionally has also been there for doing the set and setting and the reintegration afterwards. They're sort of taking care of those three phases that are not part of traditional therapy right now. And how a sitter traditionally works is they might have a curated playlist of music that takes the person through a certain emotional journey that they can imagine that the person might be going through at different times during the dosing. And they probably created that curated playlist over years and years of watching many people go through psychedelic experiences and sort of guessing when the right time to change the mood in the room might be. And they might also know, you know, at about an hour, I'm going to remove the person's mask, and then we're going to check in, and then we're going to dim the lights or something like that. And they sort of have these habits, but it's a one size fits all approach. And I think that digital therapeutics will let us get specifically around those types of decisions towards more feedback loops. So what's actually going on with the patient's experience? Can we figure out what the emotional state of this individual person is, not in general people who are taking a trip at this point in time, but what is this person really thinking or feeling, maybe through the use of EEG or facial expressions, or maybe like computer vision detected body pose, things like that. And so we can figure out where are they emotionally, and then where do we want to take them in their experience? It's kind of like the difference between a taxi and an Uber, right? Like one is, or like the city bus and an Uber. You know, the city bus is going to take you on the same trip every time, and an Uber is going to take you exactly where you need to go at that moment. And I'm hoping that digital therapeutics can get us towards more of that Uber experience through the dosing.
Developing and providing data around psychedelics is a major goal of research in this area. How do digital therapeutics help to do this?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of really good research that has been going on and that can go on by using digital therapeutics in conjunction with psychedelic experiences. One of the ones that I'm really interested in is researching neuroplasticity. You know, we know that immediately after a psychedelic dose of many of these compounds, certainly psilocybin, LSD, you see increased dendrite growth in the brains of rats specifically. And we suspect that there's quite a lot of neuroplasticity happening, but we don't know exactly what that means from a learning perspective yet. And I think there's a lot of neurocognitive batteries that we can take people through to be able to explore more about exactly what's happening with this neuroplasticity and exactly how it's affecting the subject or the patient. And one of the things that DTX, if they're designed well, can do is they can kind of hide from the patient all of the tests that you're taking them through. You can integrate those tests into the videos that they're watching, or the game that they're playing, or the experience that they're having. And that way you can give more of those tests without overwhelming the subject. I think that there's also a lot of good experimentation that can happen around environmental data collection. We can see actigraphy, how often the person is walking, where they're walking, what their gait looks like, how often they're sleeping. all this is really great real-world data that we can collect from the patient from both before and after their dosing to see if their habits or their environmental data changes.
Have you listened to the array of other podcasts from Pharmacy Focus? We have content for every specialty, including retail pharmacists, technicians, students, and more. In the latest episode of Pharmacy Focus, Dr. Christina Madison spoke with several experts to discuss speaking your voice and amplifying your message through platforms like TED and TEDx. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
In a previous episode of Pharmacy Focus, Psychedelic Pharmacy, we covered immersive virtual experiences with psychedelics. What do digital therapeutics kind of look like in this space, and how could this combination of psychedelic therapies and technology be effective?
So I'm going to give the unexpected answer here. Personally, I just don't think that VR is there yet to be able to use effectively in a psychedelic environment. A quick story. So before I joined Atai, I had a startup that was a Alzheimer's digital therapeutic that was using reminiscence therapy to reduce depression and anxiety in Alzheimer's and dementia patients. And in that space, there was a lot of work being done with VR at the time, especially even with reminiscence therapy. We tried our hand at it as well. And we discovered that it's really, really hard to put a VR helmet on a senior citizen. There's a 25 to 50 millisecond delay between when the head moves and when the visual screen updates in front of the user's eyes. And for someone who isn't used to that or isn't expecting it, that can cause quite a bit of seasickness. As well as there's this weird experience of, you know, when you put your hands up, you can't see your own hands, or you look down and you can't see your knees. And the combination of all of these things together made it really disorienting for the senior citizens. And more often than not, they would either request or try to physically rip the helmet off of their own heads. And it was really difficult to work with. So I have a guess that a lot of those same problems are going to come up when you're dealing with someone who's under the influence of a psychedelic drug that might potentially cause visual distortions. Also, one of the things that Atai is trying to focus on with our digital therapeutics is increasing access, is how do we scale this out to as many people as possible? And at least right now, VR headsets just don't scale the way that we would like. There's a high cost to them. They're fragile. They require sometimes a lot of setup in the room with room monitors. And I don't know if they deliver enough bang for the complexity of setting them up and using them. So I'm sort of a keep it simple person. And I think at least for now, VR is a place that might have a space in, or a place in the dosing experience. But for right now, I don't know if it does.
Nice. Many digital technologies seem to be provider facing. Intended to kind of collect and distribute the data to improve therapy. What are some of the ways that these technologies improve the patient experience and care?
It's a really good question, because I agree with you. I think that a lot of digital technologies are provider facing. They're EHR facing and they're doctor facing. But the stuff that we're working on is definitely very patient focused. We are dealing with a digital therapeutic, an app that is in the patient's hands, that's trying to give them a standardized therapeutic. I think one of the things that's really important to us is accessibility. We know that having good therapeutic support is critical to a psychedelic experience having the maximum benefit possible. And if you live in a city like New York or, you know, on the West Coast, it might be, you know, not easy, but not incredibly hard to find someone who's qualified to give you therapeutic support around a psychedelic trip. But if you live in the Midwest, that's probably a lot harder to find, especially if you live in a small town where there might only be a handful of therapists. Finding a therapist that would be available to talk to you and would have the time to talk to you, that would have experience in psychedelics, might be quite difficult. So by sort of having a standardized therapeutic that's available all the time, no matter where you are, is important to us. Also, the idea of, this is more of a personal thing to me. I think the idea of therapy as a 1 hour per week, go to an office and sit on a couch model, is only available for some groups of people. I think under-resourced groups can't get the advantages that other people can, because it just simply doesn't fit in with their schedule. Right. If I work in an office and I have a boss that's fairly understanding, it might be easy for me to go and get therapy once per week. But if I, let's say I'm a barista at Starbucks and I don't really control my own schedule, I don't know which hour is available for me, and I don't know how far I will have to be able to or will be able to travel in order to make it to someone's office. Getting therapy for me is very, very difficult. But if I can provide that same therapy instead of 1 hour per week, in 5 minute segments every day, I can provide the same amount of skills training. I can provide the same amount of monitoring as I would in an hour a week. But now I can do it for the patient when they're available, maybe first thing in the morning before their shower, or even while they're at work taking a bathroom break. We can sort of get a little bit of time in every day and get to a place where we can scale up these therapies so that they're available for more people.
Kind of piggybacking off of that, one of the significant obstacles to psychedelic therapies is the lack of trained therapists. How can digital therapeutics help to address this problem?
Yeah, I would go a step further than that and say that one of the obstacles to the mental health crisis in America is that there's just not enough trained therapists, psychedelic or not. And so I think digital therapeutics in general can really impact that. Specifically with psychedelic therapists, there's so many less therapists that are trained with psychedelics that the more that we can provide in a standardized way that's a short amount of time per day means the bigger impact we can have for the most people.
How do you see the future of digital therapeutics in the psychedelic space? You kind of addressed this before, but do you have any other thoughts?
Yeah, I think that DTX is going to move more and more into the dosing and the immediate post-dosing phases of the psychedelic journey. I think that you're going to see sort of an explosion of apps and therapeutic tools that deal with set and setting and that deal with aftercare and long-term skills building. But the real research and to me, the real challenge of digitizing the experience is going to be right around that dosing and integration phases. I also think that we're going to see more and more feedback loops. So you're going to be looking at a lot more detecting exactly what the state of the user is, either through voice technology, pose detection, emotional inference from computer vision, things like that. And you're going to start seeing those feedback loops become tighter and tighter and tighter. So it's not, let's check how you're doing and then provide you with a different video, right? That's like a really long feedback loop, but more. And then you might have something like, let's look at how your face is reacting and how your what body poses you're making and change the next song. That's like an even shorter feedback loop. And we could even get into a place where you could see like really rapid light changes and light therapy. And that's where you get more into like the VR helmets and things like that, that are extremely short feedback loops. So I think that we're going to see more and more of those as the research around what's happening inside of the mind during the dosing phase increases.
Thanks for listening to Pharmacy Focus, Psychedelic Pharmacy. Tune in next month to hear about fascinating research into the potential uses of psychedelic medicine.